opening narration.
Akhotra Foundation presents The Akhotra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akhotra AI.
Introduction.
Okay, let's unpack one of the most, well, astonishing true stories ever told. Today, we're diving deep into the extraordinary life of Louis Zamperini, maybe best known from Laura Hillenbrand's incredible book, Unbroken.
Right, and it's more than just a biography, isn't it? It's this epic journey.
Totally epic. Starts on the streets of Prohibition-era California, this mischievous kid, then Olympic glory.
Then the absolute depths of wartime survival, adrift at sea, prisoner of war, unimaginable brutality.
But it doesn't stop there, which is key. It leads to this surprising path towards, well, peace and redemption.
Yeah.
So our mission today, really, is to get under the skin of it. What does it actually take to endure suffering like that and somehow emerge truly unbroken?
And the person telling the story, Laura Hillenbrand, she's crucial here. Already a master with Seabiscuit, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic writer.
But she brought this unique empathy, didn't she? Because she was dealing with her own debilitating battle with chronic fatigue syndrome.
Right. So she understood endurance on a deeply personal level.
Yeah.
Physical, psychological hardship.
Exactly. And she combined that with just staggering research, 7 years, over 75 interviews with Louis himself.
75. Wow.
That gives the book this layer of authenticity. It feels like her own perseverance kind of mirrors his. It pulls you right in.
The chronological journey.
It really does. That connection, it makes it feel so immediate. So let's trace his life chronologically, starting with the boy. Louis Zamperini, he was spirited, let's say.
Spirited is one word for it. Growing up, second-gen Italian-American, Torrance, California, constantly in trouble.
Yeah, proper trouble. Theft, brawling, running from the cops. A real local menace. You kind of wonder how he didn't end up, you know, properly derailed.
I've seen him headed that way. Smoking at 5, drinking at 8. By 10, he was picking locks, stealing anything not nailed down.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. But then, his older brother, Pete. Pete was pivotal.
Ah, Pete.
Right. Pete saw past the delinquency. He saw this, like, explosive energy. And he was smart. He channeled it into running.
Didn't just tell him to run. He trained him, right?
Exactly. He saw the potential. And Pete had this mantra. A moment of pain is worth a lifetime of glory.
Wow. That's powerful.
And it wasn't just a phrase for Louis. It became this foundational principle. Push past the agony for something bigger. That discipline. Saved him later.
And what a turnaround. That same energy focused made him the Torrance Tornado, breaking records, running barefoot sometimes.
Became a phenom.
Yeah.
Which led to the 1936 Berlin Olympics, the 5,000 meters.
Didn't medal, but that final lap, just blistering, past loads of runners, apparently caught Hitler's attention.
So the story goes, Hitler requested a meeting. But the point is, that early grit, that refusal to quit even when outclassed, that forged something in him, an iron will.
A will he was going to need more than he could ever imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because those Olympic dreams.
Yeah.
Dashed by World War II.
Right. So he enlists U.S. Army Air Corps Bombardier on a B-24 Liberator.
Often called the Flying Coffin. Grim nickname.
Tells you something, doesn't it? The shift from the freedom of the track to that claustrophobic, terrifying reality of air combat.
Yeah.
It's drastic.
Incredibly dangerous. The book really brings that home. Introduces his crew, his close friend, the pilot, Russell Allen Phillips.
And there's that one mission, right, where their plane, the Superman, came back riddled with holes.
Nearly 600 bullet holes.
Yeah.
Survived that. It just shows the constant peril. Every flight could be the last.
Gilds the tension, doesn't it? Which leads to the main event, I suppose, May 27, 1943.
Yeah. A search and rescue mission. They were flying the Green Hornet, a notoriously faulty B-24. Barely airworthy.
And it just fails. Mid-flight, catastrophic mechanical failure, plummets into the Pacific.
Out of the whole crew, just 3 survived the crash. Louis, Phil, and Francis McNamara, clinging to a life raft.
And here's where it gets almost, well, mythical. Adrift. For 47 days.
47 days. Just try to imagine it.
Blistering sun, no food, no water practically. Drinking bird blood. Sharks constantly bumping the raft.
And then, as if that wasn't enough, strafed by a Japanese bomber, attacked from the air.
The sheer endurance required, it's mind-boggling. Physical, mental, everything.
It really is. And Hillenbrand goes deep here, raises that question. How much is physical survival? How much is mental?
Right, because you see the contrast. Mac panics, eats all the emergency chocolate on night one.
A desperate act. And he didn't last nearly as long. But Louis, he stepped up. incredible mental strength.
He became the leader, telling stories, right? His
Correct.
Mother's recipes.
Yeah. Gnocchi, ravioli, conjuring images of home, of food, keeping minds busy, quizzing Phil on geography,
yeah.
anything to fight off the despair.
It's like his mind was his last weapon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hillenbrand calls it a masterclass in survival narrative, the mind as ally and enemy.
So 47 days later, they're finally spotted, rescued, but it's the Japanese Navy.
No relief there. It leads straight into more brutality. POW camps, Kwajalein, Execution Island, then Ofuna, Omori, and Naoetsu.
And life in these camps, so it wasn't just about deprivation, it was systematic dehumanization.
Designed to strip away everything, right. Identity, will, dignity, just break them down completely.
And this is where we meet him, the bird.
Corporal Mutsuhiro Watanabe, the bird, the central antagonist. Sadistic doesn't even begin to cover it.
Unpredictable cruelty. And he seemed obsessed with Louis, specifically.
Utterly obsessed, targeted him relentlessly. It wasn't just random violence, it felt personal. Maybe because Louis was an Olympian. Defiant.
He wanted to break him, psychologically as much as physically.
Exactly, to crush that spirit.
Yeah.
Which leads to that infamous incident, the beam.
Oh man, the beam. Hard to even read about. Forcing Louis, starving, weak, to hold this heavy wooden beam over his head.
Threatening to shoot him if he dropped it, and Louis held it. For 37 agonizing minutes.
37 minutes, just refusing to break, looking the bird right in the eye.
An incredible act of defiance. Pure willpower against tyranny.
And that spirit, that refusal to give in, it wasn't just Louis, was it?
No, that's key. Hillenbrand shows these small acts of defiance from many prisoners. Stealing food, sabotaging work, spreading news, tiny rebellions.
Keeping their humanity alive.
Precisely. The book quotes, "Dignity is as essential to human life as water, food, and oxygen." These acts were their dignity. They were how they stayed unbroken inside.
So the war ends. Louis comes home, a hero. Parades, accolades.
But that's often just the start of another battle, isn't it? The unwritten chapter.
The invisible wounds. Severe PTSD. Nightmares of the bird constantly.
Which drove him to alcohol. And this burning, obsessive desire for revenge. Just consumed by hatred.
His marriage to Cynthia, which had been this anchor, started falling apart.
And Louis's story here is so important. It shows that physical liberation doesn't automatically mean psychological freedom. The prison can follow you home.
The bird still had this power over him years later, miles away.
Exactly. He was still captive, in a way.
So the turning point. He's really at rock bottom. Cynthia persuades him, somehow, to go to a Billy Graham crusade. Louis was very reluctant.
Extremely reluctant. But he went, and as Graham spoke, something clicked. Faith, forgiveness,
yeah.
And Louis remembered.
Remembered what?
A promise he'd made. Out on that raft. Desperate. He'd promised God if he survived, he'd dedicate his life to him.
Wow, he'd forgotten.
Or buried it. But in that moment, it came flooding back. A profound spiritual awakening.
And the change was immediate.
Astonishingly so. The nightmare stopped. Just like that. He poured out all the alcohol. The hatred. It just dissolved, replaced by peace.
That's incredible.
The book puts it perfectly. Vengeful obsession keeps the abuser's power alive. Forgiveness. That was Louis finally disarming the bird, reclaiming his own life.
It wasn't for the bird's benefit at all.
Not remotely. It was for Louis's freedom, his final liberation.
Core philosophy and values.
So when you boil it down, what drove him? What was his core philosophy forging all this fire?
Well, resilience, obviously. But it's a specific kind of resilience. It's active defiance. It's never letting them steal your dignity.
Holding on to yourself, your identity, no matter what.
Exactly. And also this deep belief, maybe learned from Pete initially, that you can endure pain for a greater purpose, that suffering doesn't have to destroy you.
And later, clearly, forgiveness became central, not as weakness, but as strength, as self-preservation.
As the ultimate act of taking back control, releasing the past to live in the present, that became fundamental to him.
Three pivotal turning points.
Looking back, what were maybe the three absolute critical moments that changed everything for him?
Okay, first, gotta be Pete's intervention, right? Seeing that potential in the delinquent kid and channeling it into running. Without Pete, Louis's path would likely have been totally different. Prison, maybe worse.
That set the foundation. Discipline, enduring pain for glory.
Totally. Second pivotal moment.
Yeah.
The crash of the Green Hornet. That plunge into the Pacific. It ended his life as a flyer, started this unimaginable ordeal, but also forced him to draw on inner resources he never knew he had.
The ultimate test. It stripped everything away.
Everything. Which leads to the third, I think. the Billy Graham Crusade. He survived the war, came home a hero, but he was still broken inside, consumed by hate and trauma.
That moment of spiritual awakening, remembering his promise on the raft.
That was the turning point that truly healed him. It allowed him to finally leave the war behind, forgive, and find peace. It redirected his entire post-war life.
Human lessons and reflection.
So what does Louis's life, this almost larger-than-life story, teach us? What can you, listening now, take away?
Well, first, it's a profound lesson in the capacity of the human spirit, not just to endure, but to actively resist dehumanization, to hold on to dignity.
It shows that strength isn't about not being afraid, but about continuing despite the fear.
Exactly. And it highlights the duality of humanity. You see the absolute worst, the bird's cruelty, but you also see incredible camaraderie, kindness, even in dark places. Both exist.
Which is maybe a tough but important thing to remember.
And then there's forgiveness. His story makes it so clear. Forgiveness is primarily for the forgiver. It's a tool to release yourself from the prison of past pain and resentment.
It's not about condoning the act. It's about freeing yourself from its ongoing impact.
Precisely. And finally, post-trauma growth. Louis didn't just get over his trauma, he used it. He channeled that immense suffering into helping troubled kids, finding purpose because of what he went through.
Showing that profound hardship can actually lead to profound purpose.
Three final takeaways.
So if we had to distill it down to three key takeaways.
Okay, let's try. First, maybe an emotional insight.
I'd say the emotional insight is the sheer power of retaining dignity against all odds. That inner core of self-worth, Louis showed, is non-negotiable for survival. Not just physical, but spiritual survival. Refusing to be broken inside.
Okay. And an intellectual insight. What idea really stands out?
Intellectually, it's the profound psychological truth about forgiveness as liberation. Understanding that holding on to hatred keeps you tethered to the abuser, while forgiveness, however difficult, is the act that truly severs that tie and sets you free. It reframes forgiveness entirely.
Right, as an act of reclaiming power. And finally, a universal insight, something practical we can all apply.
Universally, it's the lesson in active resilience, that facing overwhelming challenges often means breaking them down. Focus on the next step, the next hour, the next small act of resistance or self-care, just like surviving one more day on the raft. It makes the impossible seem manageable.
Closing narration.
Join us next time for a new episode, featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.